Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Yeah, really. Thanks, Clive. In case I forgot where they were and looking for them. Oh, should we pray? Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. Your love, Lord, is passionate and strong for us. Father, may we just love you passionately and with strength. And with action, in the same way that you gave to us, Lord, we will give back to you and we will give your love to others. Lord, download more of your love into our hearts and our lives today. That everything we do would just be to love you back, to honor your name, to see you glorified in this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just welcome you. Just you welcome the Lord into your heart, into your life, and for him to speak to you today, his word. Thank you, Jesus, you come and you speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you speak into every one of our hearts and change us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Many of you know that in the summer, Clive and I led, along with Bengt Wildermann and Chip Kay, who's a band leader and has a passionate heart for Israel, we led a group of young people, about 90-odd young people, to Israel for a week. And we had an amazing time. And in a couple of minutes, I want some of those young people that went on that trip, if they want to just come and share briefly a couple of things that God did in them or showed them on that trip. But first of all, I want to show you a clip. And I'll explain it in a minute, but this is a clip from the trip in the summer. I shall move. That we bounced our way around Israel on this trip. Some of those places that what happened was Chip had written a song, and he wanted to film whatever location we were in. He wanted to film the guys dancing to this song, and he's going to put it out there somewhere, eventually on YouTube or whatever. But the life and the joy that this trip carried with it. There was something special about this trip. In some of those locations, the one where it had the big, tall, blue picture behind where everybody was dancing is the Bethlehem Bible College. And we took the trip there. We know the wonderful guy who's now the principal of Bethlehem Bible College. And historically, it's been a place where they would teach against Israel, Okay, the Bethlehem Bible College is in the West Bank in a Palestinian area. And historically, that's what they've been known for. But this guy that now is the principal is a wonderful man of God who lives in Jerusalem. And his heart, he's been here and spoken here with a Jewish believer. And his heart and understanding of God and his word and the Jewish people and reconciliation is now in that place. And we took the trip to hear his story and meet with him, which is a really powerful time. And then they danced in front of that blue, big tall blue image of the shepherds coming to the shepherd's fields, obviously in Bethlehem. And those guys would never have had anything like that going on in Bethlehem Bible College before, so it was an amazing experience. It wasn't just dancing to a track. We were bringing the life, the power of Jesus, wherever we were going, amen? And the one on the boat, we were actually on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Never done that on the Sea of Galilee before. We've been on it when it's been totally smooth. If you're with a bunch of older people, put it this way, you tend to sit there and meditate on a piece of the Lord. That didn't happen on that trip. We had an amazing time. But the guys who were driving the boat, they joined in. Our tour guides, before we did that track, we were worshipping the Lord, singing and dancing, and our tour guides were involved in the dancing. They're not believers, they're Jewish, but they're totally secular, don't believe in God or Jesus. But they were dancing in the worship, and then just before we started doing that track, I sat down, and the tour guide just sort of flopped next to me, and she said, I love Jesus. She said, not as my Lord, I'm Jewish, you know. She said, but I love the life he brings and everything he did and the people that he touched. You know, she's heard all the stories because she's a tour guide. She knows it all. And I said to her, I said, you know, but Jesus was Jewish. He was a rabbi. He was one of you. And he taught the Jewish scriptures. He taught your scriptures. It's all about you guys that he came for. And it's like they just have such a wrong view of Jesus. They have a Christian, Western view of Jesus. And that's partly why we go, because we can take their story back to them, which is what Paul talked about in Romans, making them jealous for what is theirs. So we had anybody from the trip want to come and just briefly say a couple of sentences, how they were impacted, what God did. Come on, Fred. Have we got a microphone? Microphone somewhere. Here they come, brave ones.
Hello. Hello. First time in Israel for me. And it's funny, actually, it was about 6 months before I was meeting up with Toby and Fraser, and they said they were going, and I didn't have the money, so I just prayed, God, I'd really like to go, and he gave me the money, so that was amazing. Mm. But when we were out there, for me, the main thing that really impacted me was that it's kind of bringing the scriptures alive, because when you read that Jesus walked on the water, like, you can see where that happened, yeah. And you can see what would have happened and what the storm would have looked like. And when it talks about when Jesus, like, rode on the donkey and went into Jerusalem, you can see where that would have happened. And so now when I read the Bible, I don't read it thinking it's a story that someone made up. I read it. I know that there's a context to what happened. So it kind of brings the Bible alive for me. But, yeah.
Woo! Thank you.
For me, Israel is it's the best place I've ever been. I didn't think it would impact me as much as it did, but it did. Just going there and seeing its beauty, even in itself, is amazing. But the significance behind it makes it so much more, like, just beautiful, because you know that this is where Jesus walked. And for me, knowing that just really impacted me. God also showed me, his heart for a lot of things that I didn't think he would. So, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. Sarah was really impacted at Yad Vashem, weren't you? The Holocaust Museum. Yeah. It's important to go. Thanks, Sarah. this girl is amazing. She's now one of our Bible College students. And I just want to say that you got saved this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came to Faith Camp. And God brought you over to Israel.
Yeah, God said it to me on my birthday in June, last June. And then I prayed for, Lord, come to me. And then Jesus said, come to Israel, I will wait there. So I just applied to Kingdom Faith Israel tour, and then yeah, God, in the Jordan River, and then Lord again called my name, come to me, and then yeah, I just
downed. Yeah. When you said when you got saved, the Lord spoke to you that you would get baptized in the Jordan.
Yeah,
and she did. The first day we were there, she got baptized. It was amazing. And we had the privilege of praying with her as she came out of the water. It was such a privilege and such an honour. Yeah. And then on the trip, and then God called you to come to Bible College. Yeah.
So only in a short mountain liver. Abba Mount Olive.
The Mount of Olives. Yeah, amazing. But just in short space of time, what God is doing in this girl's life, and it's just an honour to have taken you and just seen there and been there with what God's doing. Amen.
Amen.
And what he's going to do while you're here at the Bible College. So it's just for a term, isn't it? And then you're going back.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Sorry.
Yeah,
and you were on the trip as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
He's a Bible College student.
Yeah, it was Israel was pretty amazing for me. I went, if I was honest, I went with very sort of personal intentions. I just needed, you know, to get closer to God in some way. And I thought going to the Holy Land would help me do that. But it changed me completely. It just completely changed my view. It was as if I'd been taught the gospel all over again. I just never looked at the people of Israel like that, and but just not the people of Israel, but the God's heart for and his intentions for, you know, for the world, you know, that's resorted around these people. Anyway, I was so it was just amazing. After every day, I was just like, it's as if I knew nothing, you know, and God was just refilling his heart, which is amazing. I was a carpenter, just started my business about 7 months ago, and I got a word on the Mount of Olives there from Bengt about he felt that there was a guy here who the Holy Spirit had been talking about Bible College for a number of years, which I have sort of thought about it. And so 5 weeks later, I'd applied for the college, and I'm here now. So it's completely, you know, God is just completely just dramatic.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Thank you. Sylvia, one of the young people.
One of the young. I've been to Israel a few times, but this time I had the privilege to take my family with me, my husband and my two boys, they're 15 and 13. And to me, it was obviously quite personal, but also, you know, the whole idea, obviously, of us taking the young people to Israel is to allowing God to download something to the next generation so that they can carry on. Obviously, with a passion, and for my family, it was very much like that. I can't say that like my boys completely understood what was happening, and I don't think anybody can understand what really is going on in Israel anyway. But you know, for me, the main thing is for them to really have that love and passion for the Lord's chosen people. Mm. And when we came back to England, and we were in Luton Airport, and Toby turned to me and he said, "Mom, there's something about this nation. There's something about Israel which makes you want to go back there." Alex, when he was, we were in the Western War and we were praying over there. And after we finished, he came to me and I said, "Oh, you know, what did God say?" Or, you know, as you do. and it was really amazing because, you know, God has spoken to him about exactly the same things as God has spoken to me when I came first to Israel, and then when I came to pray, you know, at the Western Wall. And that is like God is just taking from generation to generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, it was just such an honor. And they absolutely love, you know, the nation of Israel, and my husband as well, just absolutely love it. And you know, I can see that they are there to defend defend the people. Mm-hmm. They are there to defend, you know, the Lord's chosen people, and they're not afraid and not ashamed to stand up and just really stand up for the truth. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was such a privilege to take them and just to be there with them. So mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. When we take a trip, we take them into the West Bank. We also went into to Jericho, and there we heard the story of a guy who was an assassin for Yasser Arafat, and he'd killed many Jewish people, but he got saved, radically saved, and changed, and is now reconciled to the Jewish people and works with Jewish people, and he works in Jericho with the Palestinians to see them saved, but also in Jerusalem, reaching out to Jews and Arabs there as well. So again, really powerful story to take, well, anybody to go and hear, but especially for the young people to meet that this. I was with a lady last weekend, and she's from Northern Ireland, and she said, you know, unless you've been brought up in an environment where there is deep, deep hatred of one another, you don't understand what the total miracle of reconciliation is. She said, in Northern Ireland, we have it. It's such a deep-rooted hatred, and that whatever man does, it keeps bubbling up. And it's obviously the enemy, isn't it? It's the devil. It's a stronghold of hatred. And man's peace process can't change that. Only God can change hearts and lives of men and women where they can love and be reconciled. So to go and hear and see reconciliation where at work, where it is a deep hatred taught from, you know, it's just generational. And that's why it's important for us to take the next generation. We also met with a Messianic Jewish leader. He came and spoke to the group of what God is doing in their church, in their congregation, up in Galilee, in the northern part of Israel. And again, a really important story, a testimony of a life, because his family survived the Holocaust. One member of his family survived the Holocaust. He's alive today. And you know, like with our tour guide, her dad survived the Holocaust, and their testimonies are total miracles. Anybody that survived the Holocaust was a total miracle, and they are alive for a reason and a purpose. And it's important to hear their stories and how God is then using them. So why Israel? And amongst this season of what God is doing in us, this work of love, and I want to take you through some scriptures. If you've got your Bibles or make some notes, you can look at them afterwards. God is doing a work of love amongst us. A deep work, a deeper work than I believe we've been through before. And love, God initiated love, didn't he? He's the author of love. He is love. And he puts this love in us. He puts his love in us. Zechariah, the whole book is amazing. It's a passionate book about a passionate God who loves Jerusalem and its people. Okay? In Zechariah 1 and 2, both in those, God talks about his love for Jerusalem. Okay? Now, this is God we're talking about. Not just the person that penned it, okay? The messages were from God, because Zechariah was a prophet to his people, saying about his love. Okay, Zechariah 8, another message came to me from the Lord of heaven's armies. Zechariah 8, verse 1 and verse 2. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. This is what the Lord says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. I am consumed with passion for Jerusalem and for Zion. Okay? Now, here it's a real place and it's real people. Okay? Sometimes when it's called Zion, people can think of, oh, he's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, the heaven, what's to come. He is. But here he's talking about Jerusalem, Zion. If you go to Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, the old city, there's a sign pointing to it saying Zion. That is Mount Zion, okay? It's a physical place. It still is. The Lord says, I'm returning to Mount Zion and I will live in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city. The mountain of the Lord of heaven's armies will be called the holy mountain. Okay, so this is the word of the Lord. And if you love God and you love the word, okay, then you'll read it and you'll want to love what he loves. Okay, and it's as a work that God has been doing in me over many years. And nine years ago, I think, when I first went to Israel, like these guys, I didn't know anything about Israel apart from the fact that Jesus had been born there and lived there and did everything there and then went up from there to heaven. I didn't know anything about the Jewish people, and I was a leader. And when I went, God met with me. And he spoke to me and he put something in me from Esther about standing for the Jewish people because he loves them. So he's been, over the years, I've been just learning more about his passion and his heart for people. I loved God and I knew I was loved by God. That's why I got saved, because I believed that he loved me. Okay? And I didn't have a problem with knowing that God loved me and believing his word. But something happened on a deeper level when I began to understand that everything that I read, that I took for myself, was about a people that he still loved. And he still wants them for himself. Okay? So let's have a look a bit more at that journey. This love of God. He calls them, in different places in Zechariah, his most treasured possession. It says he chose Israel for himself, Israel for his own special treasure. He chose them for himself. He chose them. This is the God that we love. Okay? Hosea 11. I've got to find Hosea now. Okay, just before Joel. Hosea 11. Let's just read through. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the further he moved from me. Offering sacrifices to the images of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand. Isn't that amazing that he would talk of Israel like a little child like that? And if you've had children or grandchildren, you know, when they're little and you want to hold them by the hand and you lead them along, it's just an amazing picture and image of a father's heart and relationship to this nation. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand, but he doesn't know or even care that it was I that took care of him. I led Israel along with my ropes of kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck and I myself stooped to feed him. Amazing. But since my people refuse to return to me, they will return to Egypt and will be forced to serve Assyria. War will swirl through their cities. Their enemies will crash through their gates. They will destroy them, trapping them in their own evil plans. For my people are determined to desert me. They call me the Most High, but they don't truly honor me. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you like Admah or demolish you like Zeboim? My heart is torn within me and my compassion overflows. No, I will not unleash my fierce anger. I will not completely destroy Israel, for I am God and not a mere man. When people blow it with us, we can then blow it with them, can't we? But God isn't like us. His love is so much greater and deeper. And I myself, I want that love in my heart. Do you? I don't just mean for Israel, I mean anybody. That love that even when people are unfaithful to us, we can keep loving and we can keep giving and we can keep going. Amen? That's the love of God. My heart is torn within me, my compassion overflows. I will not unleash my fierce anger, I will not completely destroy. For I am God and not a mere man. I am the Holy One living among you, and I will not come to destroy you. For someday the people will follow me. I, the Lord, will roar like a lion. My people will return trembling from the west. Like a flock of birds, they will come from Egypt. Trembling like doves, they will return from Assyria, and I will bring them home again, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. And when God speaks, he does it. And we know this because we know he's faithful to us. We know he's faithful to his promises. We know when we blow it, he doesn't turn his back on us. But this love was for Israel, was for the Jewish people that we have come into. And we'll look at that in a second. Jeremiah 31. And it's important that we know these verses. It's important that we read from the word of God what his heart is, because this word stands forever. This word doesn't change. It was interesting, a few of us went down to hear Lance Lambert in Brighton yesterday. Wonderful old man, a Jewish man who I love listening to, his heart and his authority, what he's walked with God over the years. And he was talking about the fact that we're in days where people want to modernize the word of God. They want to change it to make it politically correct, because the word of God isn't politically correct when it comes to Israel. We can't change the word of God. We can't change God's mind. We can't change the plans that God is outworking in the nations. We come in line with what God is doing. Amen? That's why we need to understand the word of God. That's why we need his love in us, because it's his love that enables us to stand with him and with him in the days ahead. Okay? Jeremiah 31. Amazing. Jeremiah 31 to 33 are amazing verses, and there's quite a lot, but we're just going to skip through some of them. But again, God's heart for Israel, spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 7 to 9. This is what the Lord says: sing with joy for Israel, or Jacob. It's the same. Jacob became Israel. Yeah? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And God said to Jacob, you will no longer be called Jacob, I call you Israel. It's the same, whatever it says in your Bible. Shout for the greatest of nations, shout out with praise and joy. Save your people, O Lord, the remnant of Israel. For I will bring them from the north and from the distant corners of the earth. I will not forget the blind and lame, the expectant mothers and women in labor. A great company will return. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and on smooth paths where they will not stumble. For I am Israel's father, and Ephraim, is my oldest child. Verse 20 to 27. Is not Israel still my son? It's interesting, you know, I don't know if you were here a couple of weeks ago when Clive prayed out, our eldest son has gone off to the States for initially 3 months, but we know it's going to be a lot longer than that, to be with his girlfriend. And he's gone to Aaron's church, the guy that Jen mentioned earlier that's coming to speak here in a couple of weeks. He's gone over there. We know he's in a good place. And I thought, I'm not going to cry when he goes. And I was in a good place. We knew he was totally happy he was going. Monday, got up early to say goodbye. Clive took him to the airport. He was going off somewhere else, so I didn't go to the airport. Half five, prayed with him, said goodbye. Nothing, we're fine. A couple of hours later, I sat down to pray and I started thinking. I shouldn't have thought, I should just prayed, shouldn't I? But I was sitting there, and there's pictures of the kids around, you know. I mustn't cry. And I started to think about about Joe going off to the States. And I started to cry. And then I started to cry some more. And I was like, God, I'm happy for him. I'm happy. He's going to an amazing woman, amazing family. I know this is you. You spoke to us years ago about our descendants inheriting and taking over other nations. This is not a surprise. So why am I crying so much? And God just so clearly spoke to me. He said, I know exactly how you feel. He said, me and Jesus were so close. And he left me to come down to here. And we missed each other. He said, why do you think he went off early every morning to speak to me? It might not fit in with your theology. But for me, it just changed everything. It was like, wow, God, you are so amazing. You understand everything about us. Everything we go through, you know, because Jesus faced it. He went through it. So my theory is that every morning Jesus got up early and they went and had a Skype call together. Because they missed each other so much. And he found out what his father was doing that day and what he was supposed to be doing. I know that. That's really what he's doing. But this relationship of love that is so deep, a parent and a child, there's nothing greater, there's nothing deeper. But God has that love. He had that love for Jesus, and he has that love for us, for people. And he had that love for the nation of Israel. He always spoke as if they were his child or his wife, the greatest love that a person can have. Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is not Israel still my son, my darling child? Even though they kept blowing it, they would go back to idol worship or leave him and reject him. They didn't believe him. He's still my darling child, says the Lord. I often have to punish him, but I still love him. We all know as parents, don't we, that we have to punish our kids, but it's because we love them. Amen? We're not bullies. We're not bullies. We love them. So we have to teach them what's right and wrong. We teach them what's dangerous and not to do. The laws were put in place around Israel to protect them. Okay? To show them who God was. Okay? That's why I long for him. And surely we'll have mercy on him. That's his heart of mercy. Set up road signs, put up guideposts, mark well the path by which you came. Come back again, my virgin Israel, return to your towns here. How long will you wander away, my wayward daughter? For the Lord will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God. Amen. It's the stuff that God is doing. Jeremiah 33, verse 19. Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and the night so that one does not follow the other, you can break my covenant. Sorry, start again. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and night so that one does not follow the other, only then will my covenant with my servant David be broken. Only then will he no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. The same is true for my covenant with the Levitical priests who ministered before me. And as the stars of the sky cannot be counted and the sand on the seashore cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of my servant David and the Levites who ministered before me. And the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, and he said, have you noticed what people are saying? The Lord chose Judah and Israel and then abandoned them. They are sneering and saying that Israel is not worthy to be counted as a nation. And we still hear this today, yeah? But this is what the Lord says. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws that govern night and day, earth and sky. I would never abandon the descendants of Jacob or David, my servant, or change the plan that David's descendant will rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore them to their land and have mercy on them. This is God. Amen. This is the word of God that we love. He made covenant. He made covenant with them out of love. You make a covenant with your husband and wife because you love them. And you want to be with them forever. We break covenant. God doesn't. He cannot break covenant. Amen. We know this passion and zeal for Israel moved God to send Jesus. And in Isaiah 9, it talks about, and we sing this at Christmas, about the fact that God sent, because of his great zeal, he sent his son to be the wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. And the government will be on his shoulders forever. And it says the Lord, the zeal of God made him do this. The zeal of God moves him to action. The passionate love of God moves him to action. And that's what he wants to put in us. A passion and a zeal that moves us to action. Amen? Yeah. And that's what he's done in me and in others to do with the Jewish people. Not everybody has a passion and a zeal to do with Israel or to do with the Jewish people or to reach them. We all have a different areas that God moves us into. Just ask yourself the question, what are you passionate about? Is it the person sitting next to you? Is it stuff of this world? Or is it stuff of the kingdom of God? What is in you? What zeal? What are you zealous about? What moves you to action? Is it God? Is it his heart? Is it the things that he has a heart for? People, like we've been hearing about Worthing. We all know at the moment that with Clive and JD and probably many others, their passion at the moment is going to see Worthing saved. Amen? What's your passion? What are you zealous about? Because that is God's heart, that they're moved to action. Okay. God speaks to us, doesn't he, about comforting Israel. He says, comfort, comfort my people. Tell them their sins have been forgiven. And they have, because he sent Jesus for them. Their sins have been forgiven. The whole world's sins have been forgiven, but they just don't believe it or know about it. Tell them, comfort, comfort my people. Tell them their sins have been forgiven. So we either are moved to tell Gentiles, those that aren't Jewish, I mean, your friends, your neighbours, your family, Worthing, Horsham, Crawley, Burgess Hill, wherever you're from, we're moved. God moves us out of compassion to comfort people, tell them their sins have been forgiven. We're not going to judge. We're going to tell them what Jesus has done for them. Amen. But some of us are called. God calls us and moves us to speak to Jewish people and tell them their sins have been forgiven. Okay? You're very quiet. Is this all right? Romans 11. Romans 9, 10, 11 are amazing passages where Paul teaches God's heart for the Jewish people. And there's a few other passages in Romans where he mentions that the Jewish people, one of them he says, they were unfaithful, but God will not be unfaithful to them. And Paul was Jewish, a teacher, a great teacher of the scriptures, and he gets saved. Jesus saves him. He steps into his world and radically saves the guy to then want to take the gospel to people who aren't Jewish. For that, for them and for a rabbi, totally radical love of God to motivate him to go and do that. Okay? He's explaining to the Romans God's heart for the Jewish people and how to treat them. And at Faith Camp, I shared quite a lot of these scriptures. In Romans 11, verse 11, it said, did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They'd rejected Jesus, their Messiah. He came to them. They didn't believe. he was God. And they rejected him and he was killed. We all know this. But were they rejected forever? No. Did they stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. It says they were disobedient, so God made salvation available to us. He wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. God is doing something in the nations. He's shaking the nations at the moment. And there are too many scriptures to go into about why God is doing that and what is going on. But ultimately, his plan of salvation left Jerusalem and it's going back. It's going back full circle. And all the nations are being shaken. Many Jewish people are going home at this time, in this season. They'll be shaken even more that they will leave and go to Israel, because that's God's plan. And he says when they're there, he'll pour out his spirit on them and he's gonna move powerfully because he loves them. He's made covenant with them. In the Middle East at the moment, awful, awful situations that are going on around Israel. And Egypt and Syria, many Christians are being killed. Many, many Christians are being martyred for their faith. And quite a lot of the battles and the stories that you hear on the news of what's been going on, they don't tell you, but it's happening to Christians. To Christian towns and communities are being targeted by the rebel groups. They're not nice people. Okay, just so that you don't get fooled into thinking that they're going to take over Assad and the nation will be a nice place to live in. It's evil what's happening at this time. And they're being shaken and many are being killed. But God, out of that, many are being saved. And God, in Isaiah 19, talks about a highway of holiness between Egypt, Israel and Assyria that goes right through to Iraq, where all these people are being slaughtered at the moment, where the enemy is doing his utmost. God is moving by his spirit. And this highway of holiness is a spiritual highway where people are getting saved and worshipping the Lord in the midst of, for them, it's tribulation. It's their tribulation. They're getting saved. God is moving in the Middle East. And this battle is getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, to God's holy mountain. Whatever you might think about Jerusalem, what's going on there? God's holy mountain. He chose it. He loves it. His heart is passionate and strong for that place and for the people. Amen. The battle is getting closer. And we have to know where we stand in that battle. I think I've preached this before, though, haven't I? So let's move on. Romans 11. Verse 15, for since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. And this passage goes on to talk about the fact that there's this root with the branches coming out. The branches were the Jewish people. They've been broken off because they didn't believe. But it says we have been grafted in. We've been grafted into a root that the Jewish people, God wants to bring them back into. Okay? There's a passionate heart of God to bring the Jewish people back into the root, into the Lord. Verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you, us. Okay? Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles, that's us, were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are rebels, and God's mercy has come to you, so that they too will share in God's mercy. God's mercy is for them still, wherever they are, not just Israel. The Jewish people, they have a call, they have a destiny to glorify God, and he's not going to let go of it. They may have done, they may have forgotten. But wherever the Jewish people are, God is calling them back to himself and back to the land. And for me, over the years, as God has been showing me this and doing a work in me, my heart for Jewish people, so I pray for them. That's one area where I'm passionate and zealous. Pray for them to receive their Messiah, okay, and to return home. I want to reach them in this nation, not just over in Israel. And I know others do too. Also, when I was in, I went to Auschwitz in June because I felt I needed to. I want to take some young people, but I needed to go myself first. And when I was there, God spoke to me about making contact with a rabbi in Brighton. And there's a large Jewish community in Brighton. And God wants to reach them. They're in our 25-mile radius. And we've been praying for many years for Jewish people and our region. So when God spoke to me, he said, I want you to go meet a rabbi. It was a female rabbi. And so when I got back, God had also spoken to me about learning Hebrew. Now, it's not because I'm into Israel that I would want to learn Hebrew. I want to be able to speak it when I go, because it would just be an amazing opportunity to be able to speak to them. And just opens up everything when you can speak the language. And but the word of God, there's so much in this word that I don't yet know and understand. But they do. The scriptures were given to them. They have an understanding of their language. There's some teaching online that I've looked at, some about 5 weeks worth. Every single letter, there's 22 letters in their alphabet, okay, but every single letter originated as a picture, and it means something about God. And there's teaching on YouTube where you can do 2 hours on one letter, okay? But it's amazing stuff, and amazing stuff, and it's all about God. There's so much in the Word that I want to get to grips with, especially when you teach. I want to know what God was saying. I want to know his heart behind what he was saying, because there's so much more in the Hebrew than in our language. And I've only had a couple of lessons, and I've learned some of those things already just through learning some of their letters. So put two and two together, learning Hebrew and meeting a female rabbi. Looked it up online. There's 3 of us who wanted to go and do this, felt God speaking to us. And this female rabbi turns out, and it's there on their website, very proud to say that this female rabbi is a feminist lesbian. So we're having Hebrew lessons with a feminist lesbian rabbi in Brighton. And I just laugh, because I think God is amazing. If there's one person he's going to want to reach in the Jewish community, it's her. She's a powerful woman. She's a powerful woman. And one day we may have a conversation about how you can be a woman of God and a feminist lesbian. That may come. But God in his wisdom knows exactly what he's doing. And I'm just happy to go wherever he says. And learn. And learn from them. And then lead her to Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what she needs. But when God puts something in us to go and do, then that's his passion. He's zealous. He will send us. And I just want to go. I just want to go. And, you know, the challenge for us is, who are we discipling? Who are you and I discipling at the moment? And what are we discipling them into? And for me, I want to disciple the next generation into God's heart for the Jewish people. Because his heart for them is massive. He's moving so that they will get saved. We will all be together in Jerusalem. initially, if you look at scriptures, the thousand-year reign comes from Jerusalem. Heaven is after that, okay? We're going to be together there, so we might as well get over it if we have an issue with them or the place. His heart is for everybody there, Jew, Arab, and Palestinian. We take groups to meet everybody there because the heart of Jesus is for everybody to be saved. But his plan and purpose for the place and the Jewish people will not change, no matter how politically incorrect it seems. This is God. And I, for one, want to be passionate and zealous about him and his kingdom. There's an amazing verse, I'll finish with this, in Malachi. Let's just turn there. Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said." So be careful what you're talking about, because he's listening. "In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honour of his name." Do we live for the honour of his name? Do we respond to God and go with God for the honour of his name? Is it what consumes us, the honour of his name? Or are there other things? With Israel, when there were other things that consumed them, he called them idols. And we're in a season where there's anything in our hearts and lives that come before God and the honour of his name, he wants them removed, because he wants a people like Israel, what he called them, to love him first and foremost, to love God with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength. I believe he's calling his people, not just them, us, his church, back to a place of loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, that we will fear him and that we will live for the honour of his name, wherever that sends us and whatever that's going to mean. And I, for one, want that passion in my heart. And I want that passion for kingdom faith. It is in kingdom faith. But God is doing a deeper work because we have more to do and we have more people to reach. Amen. Shall we stand? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, you want us to be not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And you want us, Lord, to be passionate and zealous for what you are passionate and zealous for. Lord, you're passionate for souls. You are zealous for people knowing you, to come into that revelation that you have taken away their sin, that they can be comforted, that they're forgiven. Father, put that same passion and zeal in us, Lord, that we will go. We will go to whoever you send us to, Lord. Put that passion and zeal in me, Lord, in us, in this church, in your church, in this nation, Lord, that we will stand. We will stand firm in the days ahead, full of love and compassion and mercy, but going in your name. Lord, may we be those who fear you and live for the honour of your name. We know that Israel is a place, Lord, where you guard the honour of your name, where you are moving for that honour to be glorified, to come full circle. And Lord, we want to stand with you in what you're doing. Can you ask him to put that passion and that zeal in your heart that will move you to action, that will move you more into what he calls you to, where you'll be moved to study the word, to get to know your God that loves you so deeply and gave his life for you. And Father, I thank you for kingdom faith. I thank you for everyone, Lord. I thank you for everyone here that loves you. We thank you for the exciting journey ahead that you have for us. The amazing adventures of faith, the amazing destiny for every one of us, the amazing stories that we're going to have of you using us powerfully with the people that you take us to. And Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the glory, Father, for everything you are leading us into because of your love and passion for people. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.